Hello, Dakota Territory. I'm Trent Luce. Welcome to the journey we call Dakota Trails and Tales. Jump on in the Luce Tales Food Link Chuck Wagon. Then and only then, we will tool the region, the country, the globe. We will look at the news stories of the day. But at the end of the journey, it is going to be up to you by yourself to determine how and if this information might actually affect us living in a little piece of heaven. So today we're going to talk about the most recent yesterday's announcement by the United States Department of Agriculture that starting on Monday, April the 29th, all lactating dairy cattle that cross a state line must be tested negative for avian influenza. That has caused me to go into a deep dive. There's a couple of questions I don't have answers to yet. If you go back to the Spanish flu, if that's what you want to call it, that was actually an origin of avian influenza as well. Why do so many of these particular viruses, if that's what they are, go back to birds? I don't know the answer to that. I am going to find the answer to that. And that'll give me something to talk about tomorrow, I reckon, because there's no shortage of things to talk about. But the Spanish flu, otherwise known as avian influenza H1N1, was fairly aggressive in 1918. And it looks like there was a wave. People got sick, kind of like the dairy cows of today, because the real asinine thing about what's happening today is that there are no dairy cows getting mortally sick. Their reduced milk output for a few days, 10% of them are reduced output for a few days, and then they're back to healthy. Not like nothing happened. There's no human issue other than pink eye at this point in time. I'm not saying that we should not take precaution always, but I'm saying, why the sudden desire for panic? There's no reason to require a negative test. Eight states, as of this moment, eight states have had cows test positive for H5N1, they tell us, in the dairy herds of these eight states. Five, for what it's worth, five states have had birds testing positive. They do a PCR test, which is an immediate test at the farm. If that's positive, they send the test for a further diagnosis at the National Veterinary Lab in Ames, Iowa is included, but plus usually they send to others. There's always a different protocol, but that's the plan. PCR at the local level, ELISA, which by the way, I had this earlier today, as Andrew and I talked about it on Across the Pond, that ELISA actually stands for enzyme-linked immunosorbent assay. And Mike Kelly gave me all of the details about how that works and how the titers crawl down the chart as part of the assay. And that is the results that we want to have merit in. Now, we know that, in my opinion, ill-guidedly, the USDA for the past 5 years has identified a positive flock. If there was a positive in a flock of birds, they euthanized the entire flock. 2023, it was upwards of 70 million chickens euthanized. I never have understood that. Why in today's world, when you identify sick birds, do you euthanize the entire flock? Why? There's nobody can give you an answer. Oh, we want to control and we want to aggressively eliminate the potential for spread. Identify the sick birds, euthanize the sick birds, manage the rest of the birds. We're not doing that in the dairy population, fortunately. That's the good news. So I wanted to know, what's the difference between H1N1 in 1918 through 1920, and what we have today with H5N1. And I wanted to know what happened in between. Well, what I found out is that in 2005 through laboratory recreation, they actually recreated the H1N1 from 1918. So then my question was, so what was the prevalence of avian influenza between 1925 and 1995, 2000, 2005? Turns out that during that period of time, a few cases showed up in the 60s, a couple in the 80s, and they got a little more severe in the 80s. In 1997, there was a pretty severe outbreak in China. It didn't really affect the rest of the world. But if you look at the reported avian influenza H5N1 cases from 2005 until present, the chart is pretty straight up. Are we to just foolishly not pay attention to the fact that they recreate the H1N1 virus from 1918? And by the way, I'm talking about in the mostly the poultry flocks until 2024. Lo and behold, I find in 2013, March 29th, 2013, actually, this letter was written. And I had it all pulled up here, and now it's gone just at the time when I really needed it. That's perfect. Thank you, Trent. You are such a master. Can I get one of my daughters over here? March 29th, 2013, from the University of Minnesota. A group of scientists acting under the aegis of Vaccine Research Advocacy Organization has asked President Obama's Bioethics Committee to evaluate the ethics of experiments designed to increase the transmissibility of H5N1 avian influenza viruses. The Foundation of Research, privately funded group that seeks to increase funding for vaccine research, argues that manipulating the viruses to make them more deadly than they are in nature is morally and ethically wrong, and that the ethical questions have been pushed aside in recent debate. Such experiments have been dubbed as gain of function research. 2013, a group of apparently 21 researchers suggested that it was dangerous to manipulate the H5N1 virus so that it was more aggressive and more deadly through research in a laboratory. And if you look back even more curiously, what was going on in the world in 1918? World War I. What is going on in 2020 when the accelerant of poultry flocks with avian influenza shows up and we're killing upwards of 50 million birds? I think 2017, by the way, was the first year that we really skyrocketed and euthanized 50 million birds. 4 years after a group of scientists to warn people, wait a minute, this could be dangerous to do something above and beyond nature. And here we are with a few high money people in the world trying to escalate us into World War III at the same time as we have the USDA and the government, the federal government, saying, we have a problem. We're going to shut down the transport of lactating dairy cows, despite the fact they get a fever for a few days and go back to work. Even the people who've gotten sick in 2024 from H5N1 have had pink eye for about 5 days. In all honesty, the mortality seems to be in the cat population. One might ask the question, why is that, and what's going on with the cat population? These are the questions that I have today as we charge down the path of seeking every possible avenue. I got Susan Bradford standing by for the second leg of the journey. I want to say thank you to the Great Plains cattlemen who continue to work at producing, upcycling the great cellulose material of the Great Plains into the most nutrient-dense food substance you can find. It's called Certified Piedmontese. Get more details about the Certified Piedmontese advantage for you as a consumer at cpbeef.com. The best part of the deal, you don't need to go to the store. We deliver the tender beef to your door. cpbeef.com. Nitric oxide is a healthy element. Hey, here's the deal. If your immune system and your blood system is working properly, you can come in contact with avian influenza. It's not going to be a deal. That's why every single morning I start the morning and have for 18 and a half years with a nitric oxide supplementation. Dr. Nathan Bryan has all details and the health aspects of NO2U.com. NO number two, letter U.com. Dakota, Trails and Tales. We'll take a break. We'll be back with Susan Bradford, investigative journalist, and who knows what we'll talk about with Susan or more after this.